Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio, the Fan Upstate. Monday. We're back. Good long weekend of sports. We got a lot we got to get into on the radio program today. NBA Finals breakdown. The Thunder take game two. We're split at 1-1 heading back to Indianapolis, Indiana. We're coming to that in a minute. Stanley Cup game three after back-to-back bangers is tonight in Sunrise, Florida. That series split. Edmonton won game one in an overtime. Florida won game two in a double overtime. Will we get another electrifying finish in game three? We're going to break that day, lay it down later on in the show. Got a chance yesterday to head out for a little while to the BMW Pro-Am out at Thornblade. Had a fantastic day out there. Got to walk the course a little bit. Beautiful course, beautiful day out on it. And we'll talk about that later on in the show because I didn't bring them in, great one, but somebody introduced a product to my life that I did not know about. And
Depends.
I had two jokes in the chamber, and I'm not letting either one of them go, all right? And one of them was at your expense, so you're welcome. It was an old guy joke.
It's okay, but you're allowed to tell old guy jokes now.
I found a company that, I play golf. Not well, but I play golf. And over the years, one of the things that I have developed, and by I mean everyone who plays golf, is after you hit your drive, you pick up the tee off the ground and you put it in your mouth. All right, that's just a thing we all do. You hold the golf tee. Ah.
That's disgusting.
No, it's not.
It was in the dirt.
No, it was in the grass.
No, the tee has to go into the dirt in order to hold up the ball. So the tee is in the dirt. The pointy part of the tee in the dirt, then you pick it up and put it in your mouth.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Might as well be eating mud pies.
And we all do it. It's a thing that everybody who plays does. Yesterday, I found a company that makes golf tees, and they're flavored. So now when you go golf tee to the grill, they had cherry limeade, mixed berry, sweet bacon barbecue, watermelon, and I think fruit punch was the other one. And they're flavored golf tees. And it is everything. I did not bring them here today because it would be everything. Y'all be hearing half a radio segment like this. Oh, they were fantastic. My world's been changed. It's the dumbest thing that I just, the guy was walking around the beer tent where me and the wife and the boys were hanging out having a couple of birdies for brewskis. And the guy walks over and he's like, hey, I'm from this company. I'll even give them a shout out. They're called Tasties.
That's well done.
Yeah.
I am taken aback, blown away, whatever you want to say. I could use a bunch of Mark Ryan sayings about my socks being blown off or something like that. Speaking of socks, Mr., I will not put my feet on the bare floor, but you will take something that was in the dirt and stick it between your teeth. That's just, I mean.
It's just what you do. I don't know what to tell you. A lot of gross stuff happens in the world of sports that you can't explain. They just happen.
Okay, that's just, I mean, that's nasty, dude.
Okay, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. I do it. Everybody who golfs does it. Listen, it is what it is.
I have no problem with the 3-second rule. I'll even go 10 seconds. I don't care about that. But it was in the dirt.
Yeah, but that's just green grass and dirt.
Yeah, but that dirt is specially treated dirt. It's not like the dirt if we walk outside. That dirt is, you know, rich in certain nutrients and things and stuff that might make your tongue melt off.
I don't know what to tell you. It's a golf thing. We do it. So the guy walks up and he's got a plastic bag full of these golf tees and he's like, hey, I'm from Tasties. We make flavored golf tees. Would you like to try one? Me and the boys were like, maybe it was encouraged by two or three buckets of Michelob Ultras, but we're like, yeah, why not? I chew on golf tees when I'm playing. Why not? Got one of these. The guy walked off.
Really quick, are you judged by your wife when you do it?
No, she went for it too.
Did she?
Yeah, okay. She went for it too.
All right.
She was like, I'll give it a shot. So we tried them. I was like, you got to be kidding me. So I left the tent, walked all the way around to where the guy was, and I was like, what flavors do you have? And he goes, well, we got this, and this, or you can buy a variety pack of all five of them. You get a bag of each for $20. And I was like, here's $20.
I just want to clarify. That's awesome. That's amazing. Bubba Joe down the road who golfs out in the pasture, have no problem with Bubba Joe doing it. It's just weird that you do that.
I'll tell you. I mean, I get the hang up.
Does Diesel do that?
I'm going to assume he does, as he is a golfer. But we'll check in and ask him.
I'm curious about people who are known germaphobes if they do that.
I'm a germaphobe.
I know.
But when you're playing sports, things change.
You might be the exception. That's why I need to know if anybody else out there is doing that.
I golf with people all the time. We all do it. It's like it's just a thing you do.
I've been golfing a bunch, believe it or not, and I've never seen anyone do that before. So maybe it's more of a fancy course thing.
I don't think so. How many of you golfers out there have known to do this? I don't even think you think about it. You just do it. Anyway, so I walk over. I get the pack. I get the five pack. And as I'm turning around, I turn around and I look at the dude. Because this is like a brand new company. This is their like first product launch, the guy told me. And I turn around and I looked at him. And he looks at me and he goes, are you good? And I went, T-licious. And he went, how have I not thought of that? So I told him he owes me 2% if this company takes off for coming up with T-licious. And he was like, that's really good. Hey, it is 7:06 in the morning. We got to get to some sports stuff here. You're on your way to work. Well, you will be very soon. And then you're going to get to work very soon. And then you're going to take very soon your first break of the day. And you're going to talk sports with your friends. And if you're going to talk sports with your friends, you got to know what's going on. And if you got to know what's going on, people, you're welcome for this. Don't shake your head and discuss as much as you want. T-licious was a brilliant idea.
Dude, come on.
And I hope that company takes off because of T-licious.
By the way, I hope the company does well. And again, nothing entirely against this. It's just the fact that you did it. That's weird.
Hate on, hater. What a cooler cheat sheet. Top three sports stories you need to know before you get to the office and start talking sports. Let's dive right in with item number one. The NBA Finals are on Game 2 in the books after an electrifying Game 1 that included a Tyrese Halliburton walk-off long deuce for a Pacers win. The Thunder say, not again. We're not even going to let this one get close. And they didn't. They won the opening quarter by 6. They won quarter number 2 by a dozen. And they never let the lead shrink after that. 123-107 is your final. The Thunder shot 49% from the field, 39% from the three-point line. Also knocked down 29 of their 33 free throw attempts, but it was not those numbers that were the impressive numbers. It was the rebounding numbers. In game number 1, they allowed the Pacers to collect 56 Rebounds in game number two, just 35. They kept their number consistent at 43 boards between the two games. Also, 25 assists for the Thunder. The Pacers had 27. That's pretty standard for them. Good job by the Thunder last night sharing the basketball. It was arguably the best team NBA performance we have seen since game one of the Indiana Pacers when they got the win. The Thunder played like a full team last night, and they earned the win because of it. 34 points for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 19 for Jalen Williams, 17 for Chet Holmgren, but it was the bench for the Thunder that won them this game. Alex Caruso played 27 minutes. He ended with 20 points. Aaron Wiggins played 21 minutes, ended with 18 points, including knocking down 5 3-pointers off of the bench. It was the other guys that stepped up to win this one for the Thunder. For the Pacers, all 5 starters in double digits once again. However, in the last game, they had 5 guys off the bench with double digits. In this game, just 2 of them. Mathurin had 14. McConnell had 11 off of the bench. The Pacers shot 45%, 35% from range. They did leave 7 free throws missed, 19 of 26 from the stripe for 73%. I don't know that it would have made a difference in this one, but it probably would have made a difference in this one. Game two goes to the Thunder. We now wait game 3 after a travel day, which will take place on the 11th, which is Wednesday night, over in the NHL Stanley Cup Finals. Game number 2 over the weekend went to the Florida Panthers. It was Brad Marchand, whose second goal came a couple of minutes into overtime number 2. That leveled the Stanley Cup Finals out at 1 game apiece. An OT winner for Edmonton in game number 1. A double OT thriller ended by the Rat in game number 2. Sends this one back this evening to Sunrise, Florida, home of the Panthers, with the series tied at a game apiece. If you have been entranced by the NBA Finals, may I encourage you to make your way over to the NHL Stanley Cup Finals, because it is even better. Let's get to item number 2. I was hoping that we were going to have a fistful of game 3s in the College Baseball World Series Super Regionals today. Instead, we will have just 1, because there is only 1 series that was started on Saturday that needs a game 3. Back on Friday, and I'll run you through the scores. I won't hit you with all the stats, but just to keep you filled in. Coastal Carolina knocked off Auburn 7-6 to go up 1. North Carolina put 18 runs on the board to knock off Arizona 18-2. Oregon State trailed by 3 with 2 outs in the bottom of the ninth. They would tie it up and take a walk-off win in the bottom of the 10th over Florida State 5-4. Louisville down to Miami 8-1. Then we go to Saturday. Everybody in action. Arkansas would take a 1-0 lead over Tennessee with a 4-3 win. Coastal sweeps the Auburn Tigers on Saturday 4-1. Coastal Carolina became the first team to punch their ticket to Omaha. Arizona would get a little revenge, knock off North Carolina 10-8. LSU would drum West Virginia. They trailed by 5 early, but would win 16-9 over the Mountaineers. Florida State got some revenge. They win a close 3-1 contest to tie that series up at 1-1. UCLA would down the Roadrunners of UTSA 5-2. Miami gets their revenge, 9-6 winners over Louisville in game 2. And Duke finished off Murray State 7-4. That brought us to yesterday, where all but 1 series would come to their conclusion. Arkansas wins 11-4. They sweep Tennessee. Arizona wins a 4-3 game over North Carolina. They eliminate the ACC's best, and the Wildcats punch their ticket to Omaha. LSU would finish off West Virginia 12-5. They sweep the Mountaineers to head to Omaha. Oregon State, Florida State got into a battle, but the Beavs win 14-10. Oregon State on their way to Omaha. UCLA would sweep UTSA with a game 2 victory 7-0. Murray State has the most impressive offensive outing of the Super Regional weekend on Sunday. 19-9, they knock off the Blue Devils, setting up a Game 3 today. And Louisville would finish off Miami 3-2. That was a 2-1 set. Only one game needed today to finish out the Omaha field. Duke and Murray State will play today at 7 p.m. And then we head to Omaha, Nebraska for the conclusion of the best postseason in all of American sports. We'll talk some more college baseball later on in the week as we head to Omaha. Let's get to item number 3. Is it an old story? Yeah, it happened on Friday. Is it a relevant story? Also, yeah, it is also a story you will be talking about today at the office. College sports has ushered in its new era as Friday night Judge Claudia Wilkin accepted the settlement terms put into place for the House v. NCAA settlement. She called them, quote, groundbreaking changes in NCAA rules that govern student athlete compensation. It has been a tedious legal process that I think many of you effectively tuned out for the last couple of months, which is understandable. We asked John Blau last week, hey, why haven't we had a settlement yet? And his answer was the same as mine. I don't know. I guess we'll find out. I'm assuming we're going to get one very soon. Well, it turned out John Blau was all over it because it happened on Friday. Starting on July 1st, pending an appeal and pending a stay of the decision, which I don't know if it's likely or unlikely at this point, but pending an appeal and a stay of the decision, starting on July 1st, each school will be allowed but not required to spend as much as $20.5 million in revenue sharing payments to their athletes. That figure comes from a negotiated formula that caps athlete payments at 22% of the average annual revenue that FBS level schools get from ticket sales, broadcast rights, and a few other items. The cap will grow on a regular basis. I told you this back in the last hour, during the 10-year lifespan of the settlement as the school's revenue expands and via scheduled incremental increases. Each school's athletic department can decide how it will divide that money amongst athletes. Not many major programs have shared their budget plans, but those that have say that they expect to spend the overwhelming majority, some of the schools up to 90% of their money, on football and men's basketball players. Athletes are also still allowed to make money from selling their NIL rights to third parties outside of the school. However, the settlement has created a new set of rules and a brand new organization called the College Sports Commission. We talked about them in hour number one, that will try to stop boosters from using NIL deals as effective and de facto salary payments, a practice that ESPN says, quote, has become commonplace in the past several years. However, many teams are already working in concert with booster collectives to find creative ways to pad their payrolls with third-party NIL deals that fit within the new rules. Industry experts say football and basketball teams will likely have to find ways to provide several million dollars beyond the salary cap limits if they want to field a team that can compete for championships. We're going to talk about that statement, that sentence, a little bit later on in the show. As we have mentioned, there are going to be potential appeals that could lead to a potential stay of the settlement that could change the game. ESPN said, quote, contracts that athletes are now signing with their schools will likely bolster ongoing legal arguments that at least some college players should be considered employees of their schools. The NCAA is fighting more than a dozen lawsuits that challenge rules about how long athletes are allowed to remain in college sports. That is something we are going to be having increased conversations about. We already had some lawsuits like Diego Pavia's at Vanderbilt, where he said, look, I am in school, I am working towards a degree, and I play JUCO ball, which you guys count against my eligibility. It should not. As long as I am in school working towards a degree and attending the school, I should be allowed to play football for the school. Of course, that opens the door to, can you cap that? If Diego Pavia gets a 6th or 7th year of eligibility, Could he again sue after year seven going for degree number nine and say, I should get eligibility for years eight and nine too? That's a debate that has to be had. So we are going to break this thing down left, right, up, down, top, bottom, back, and forth throughout the course of the show. We're going to talk some NBA and NHL finals, a little Major League Baseball because the Braves suck. They lost all three against the Giants this weekend. They got walked off while having a lead in the ninth inning twice out of the three. So let's talk some baseball, or not. I don't know if I care anymore, on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rob Brown Show on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. We are discussing the results ramifications of the House settlement being approved last Friday night. They did it late in the day. It was a Friday night media dump, which are usually, and I'm not saying that this was or was intentional at all, but ordinarily when news like this is released late on a Friday night, they're usually trying to bury it, right? They're usually trying to hope that your attention span through the weekend will have you forgetting this story by Monday, or at least not looking super deep into it. This is obviously going to be the most impactful college football story of the offseason, is the settlement of the House v. NCAA case. We have talked about some of the ramifications. I put a challenge down at the end of the last hour of the broadcast. And again, I do not think that schools will be capable of or willing to rise to this challenge, though I hope that I am wrong. The challenge that I put down to the schools was follow the rules to the letter within the spirit of said rules. And you know, I hate cliches in sports. One of the ones that bothers me immensely is, oh, it's the spirit of the game. Ugh, because it's so subjective. And when it comes down to people having to follow rules in order to make sure that a system flows smoothly, when you allow any form of subjectivity in the rules themselves, when you allow any form of subjectivity, people consider that wiggle room, right? Even if you say, oh, it's the spirit. Yes, we would hope that the schools and the conferences would follow the rules out of the spirit of competitive equality across all of sports. But we've always had rules in college sports, and we've always had athletic departments willing to play on the gray areas of those rules in order to gain a competitive advantage over their rivals, hell, over just everybody else. These rules put into play could very well work out just fine, but it is going to require everybody to follow them, everybody to compete equally under them, and I just don't trust that schools are ultimately willing to do that. I hope that I'm wrong. I hope that we circle back in a year from now and we go, hey, they're doing a pretty good job. We haven't had any lawsuits. We haven't had any more settlement requirements. The students seem to be doing just fine. The schools seem to be doing just fine. It is going to require everybody saying, we accept the settlement rules, we accept the College Sports Commission rules, and we will act fairly under them so that it is the level playing field that we all say that we all want. We'll see if that plays out or not. But obviously, there are questions that the schools still have to answer. How are you going to distribute these funds? Is it going to be something where your $20.5 million of revenue sharing betwixt athletes is primarily dedicated to football and basketball players? Will there be some schools that say it's going to be real hard for us to ever compete? Listen, we know that a school like Georgia is likely going to pump most of its revenue share again into football and basketball, maybe even primarily into football, with enough to get by the Title IX requirements, however they impact this. And I'm going to be honest, I really don't know where Title IX fits into all of this, if it fits into this, how it fits into this, or if that's something that is going to have to be determined down the road by the College Sports Commission or a federal court or whatever. We'll find out. But could there be a school out there that says, you know what? We're never going to be able to keep up in football. Even if we dedicate 100% of our revenue share cap to football, we're just never going to be able to win a championship. But you know what we can do? We can win it in baseball. Coastal Carolina from Myrtle Beach is headed to Omaha with a good chance to win a college baseball natty. Would a team like a Wake or a Vanderbilt say, instead of putting our 20.5 into football and basketball, where we know it's going to be difficult, if not impossible, for us to win a title, let's pump it into the baseball program and go to Omaha every year and see if we can snipe a couple of titles there?
What if the majority of the ACC starts to have that attitude?
Is it, and this is where it could get interesting, what if, let's say everybody except, you know, Clemson's going all in on football, you know, right, Florida State's going all in on football, you know, Miami's going in all in on football. There are some schools that I don't think would have that mentality. I think Louisville believes, like, the right combination and we pull the right levers over the next couple of years, we can compete.
Yeah, but at the same time, basketball has been pretty strong for Louisville.
It absolutely has. So let's say, Lonzo, that UNC, Duke, Louisville, NC State, all these schools go, you know what? And I don't even think that's going to work, because I think UNC and Duke, they're going all basketball, right? Like, that's their bread and butter. That's their brand.
Well, North Carolina, it's,
they got a good baseball program,
too. We'll see what happens with Belichick.
Obviously going to be a big determining factor. But let's say, theoretically and hypothetically, that a couple of these schools decide we're all in on baseball. Is there with the increased growth, I'm not going to say it's anywhere close, obviously, but with the last couple of years, increased popularity of college baseball, do you think that it would be a profitable decision for these schools to go, what if we go all in on baseball? And the ACC, which sent 5 to the super regionals, that ties their all-time conference record. What happens if one year the ACC goes in and they send 8 of the team, they have half the super regional field, and 4 of them are host? Does that bump it up a little bit? How much money comes in? There are a lot of numbers that I just don't know, and I would need to go scour the ACC's annual revenue and budget sheet in order to know the answer. But would it be beneficial to a school for them to say, you know, let's say Duke goes, we're never going to compete on the football side. Like, we just can't, right? We have our academic regulations, which are going to prevent it. at the end of the day, our alumni base is all in on basketball. We're just never going to get there. But we know that we field a basketball program that annually is in the March Madness tournament and annually is in the March Madness tournament at a high seed. We have a baseball program. Duke is one win away from going back to Omaha. We have a baseball program that annually is in the regionals and the super regionals, and more than they don't, ends up an Omaha threat, if not outright attendee. What if a school like a Duke says, we're going to pour our entire $20.5 million into basketball and baseball and women's softball, right? That's how we're going to do this. And we're going to become a powerhouse in what is traditionally considered non-revenue generating sports. I don't think it's a bad plan. And I'll tell you why I don't think it's a bad plan. Women's college basketball. Women's college basketball is considered a non-revenue generating sport. But I would look right down the road to Columbia, South Carolina. I would look right down the road to the house that Dawn built. I would look right down the road to the women's basketball program in Columbia. And I would argue that over the past couple of years, with the exception of football, it is not a debate that the most viewed, followed, reported on, and discussed program in Columbia is the women's basketball program. The women's basketball program has had so much success that Dawn and the gals have, I'm not going to say single-handedly, because you do have Angel Reese and Paige Beckers, Caitlin Clark, UConn, Iowa, LSU, Kim Mulkey, et cetera, et cetera. There's a lot of factors here. But I would argue that the biggest driving factor in the surging popularity of women's hoops has largely been, at least built on the platform provided by, the University of South Carolina's women's basketball program. And I'd be willing to bet that the USC women have poured more money into the athletic department if we only even consider tickets and merch. Forget the TV rights. But I'd be willing to bet they have put more money into the coffers than any program on that campus, with the exception of the football program. So if you look at that and you go, okay, what if we take our basketball programs and our baseball and softball programs and we pour all of this revenue distribution into that? Sorry, football boys, we're going to give y'all $2 million, $3 million to spread around, but we're going to put $17 million into these other programs because we think if we send the women's basketball program to the women's tournament every year, if we send the men's program into, let's go back 2 years. Gigi Jackson is in Columbia on the men's team. Lamont Paris in his initial year. That team's winning games. They're on the way. They're in the March tournament. And there was an electric amount of attention paid to the men's game that year. We were talking about it here on the show with great regularity. Well, this year, obviously, Lamont Paris year two, don't have a point guard on the roster, much like the baseball program. Very disappointing from where South Carolina fans thought they were going to be. And we rarely got people participating in this show wanting to talk USC men's basketball. So as far as I'm concerned, between the consistent success of the Gamecocks women's program and the disappointing drop-off of the Gamecocks baseball and men's basketball programs, I think it's fairly obvious that for a school, there is some level of success generated by having your non-revenue programs be platforms, be top-tier programs nationally. Now, does that generate enough that it justifies taking NIL out of your football program? For South Carolina, I'd argue the answer is no, because you're on the cusp of being a playoff team right now. I believe South Carolina could theoretically be a program that makes the college football playoffs this year. I think definitely next year, if everything continues on the trajectory there, and they replace Lenora Sellers next year. We'll talk about that later. But for a team like a Duke, for an NC State, for a Wake Forest, for a Vanderbilt, it may make sense for them to go, we're going to keep investing in the football program at the same rate, but we're putting all this house fee settlement revenue sharing money over towards non-revenue programs. Does that make sense? I don't know is the answer. The problem is there's a lot of I don't know that has not been discussed, at least not publicly, by these schools, universities, and programs. We'll talk more about that and continue this discussion when we come back, because there is one thing that dropped after the House v. NCAA settlement was announced on Friday that I think is proof that we don't know where the hell we're going. I'll tell you what it is when we come back on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
The House v. NCAA settlement passes on Friday. The new rules and regulations of college sports are here, ladies and gentlemen. What does that mean? The answer right now is, who the hell knows? There's a lot that still has to be determined, worked out, figured out, etc., etc., etc. But the platform is there. Now, I know that there's a lot of work that still has to be done. And the reason I know that there is a lot of work that still has to be done is because I went this morning when I found out that it was up and online. I went to the new website of the College Sports Commission, which is deemed to be the governing and disciplinary body of the NCAA, in order to track and enforce the new rules of college sports as put into place by the House v. NCAA settlement. And I found something that I thought was very interesting. Not that it's bad, but just interesting. There are on the college sport, which if you want to follow along, it is collegesportscommission.org. They have the same level of branding genius that I do with my social media handles being at the Rob Brown Show. Collegesportscommission.org has two blocks of text on the homepage of their website. Now, there's more to it, and I'll walk us through that here in a second. But on the homepage of this website, for this organization that today, everyone invested in college sports, coaches, athletic directors, university presidents, players, coaches, fans, etc. On a day where I think everyone invested at every level of college sports is going to want to take a look-see at the website of the people who will be governing these sports for a very long time, at least 10 years, would like to be able to go to the website and see what they have to say about themselves. There's two blocks of text. At the top, there is a block of text that says, "It's a new day." Yes, it is. In college sports, schools across the country are now able to share revenue directly with student athletes. Student athletes have more opportunities than ever before to financially benefit during their participation in intercollegiate athletics. College sports have a clear path forward towards a bright and stable future. Okay, wonderful. Do I think it's a little, do I think it's a little bright and shiny? Sure. But this decision is 3 days old, and today is the first business day that it's in play. So it makes sense that in just getting off the ground and having effectively so far zero office hours of being a thing, that the website's a little hazy and a little optimistic, frankly. Then there's the second block of text. Now, down in the main portion of the page, if you're not on our stream, join our live stream, facebook.com/thefanupstate, The Fan Upstate on YouTube and on Twitter, The Rob Brown Show on Facebook, on YouTube, and on Twitch. Here is the website. I've got it up on the live stream right now. If you're not looking, you can follow along there. Here's the front page of the website. It's a new day in college sports. Lovely little picture of like generic college football background. Okay, sure, fantastic. Then we go down to the main portion of the page. And for those of you watching on the stream, here it is. That's the end of the page. This is all there is to it, right? Second portion of the page, it's all white background with a picture of the water polo team is what they went with here. Sure, why not? It's college sports too. And it says, this website lays out the new system in place overseen by the College Sports Commission to facilitate revenue sharing in college sports and to ensure that name, image, and likeness deals made between student athletes and third parties are fair and comply with the rules. That's fine. Again, that's a mission statement, which, you know, it's 2025. When you go to start up a business, step number one is mission statement. That's the mission statement of this website. And that's literally all that it says. So I think it's an apt metaphor here. Do I expect them to have a fully functioning, entirely detailed, scripted out, walk from A to Z of what the College Sports Commission is going to be and what it is going to be tasked with? No. I don't think that is feasible nor possible. I think it's not feasible nor possible because, as we have mentioned, the settlement got finalized on Friday, well after working business hours. It is Monday at 7:45 a.m. That means that the College Sports Commission has had exactly and precisely 0 minutes of working business hours to develop anything. A. And then B, also, as we have pointed out in this show, there's still a lot of questions that are going to have to be answered. Now, I'd like to think that there have been ongoing discussions amongst those that will be responsible for, governed by, affiliated with the College Sports Commission to have some answers to some questions already discussed. They already kind of know the direction that we're going in. That's my hope. But I think it is an apt metaphor that on the very first day after, very first business day, after the House v. NCAA settlement was approved, on the very first business day of the new era of college sports taking off, that the website of the governing and disciplinary body of said rules of said new era of said college sports, their website is this. It is literally one paragraph of text with a generic yet very optimistic sentiment about what their job and their role within college sports is going to be. Do I expect them to have a fully fledged out encyclopedia of what they do and how they do it? Not necessarily. And to their credit, if you go up in the top right, there are pages for everything. Here is the page in which they discuss revenue sharing. Now, I read through this page earlier. Basically, all that it says is the House v. NCAA settlement has been finished up. It mentions the party involved, the ACC, Big Ten, Big 12, Pac-12, and SEC. It talks about their media rights, ticket sales, and sponsorship. It talks about what the cap is. We already know that, $20.5 million per school for each academic year pending final confirmation. With few potential exceptions, the cap will then increase 4% the following 2 years and will be reevaluated every 3 years over the duration of the 10-year settlement period. It talks about student athletes receiving compensation from third parties. It talks about the role of the College Sports Commission, LBI software, NIL Go, yada, yada, yada. It talks about the platform enabling moments, what they can do and can't do. And then under the About section, it also has a page discussing the roster limitations, a chart that has a guideline, a breakdown of the old scholarship limit and the new roster limit. For instance, in acrobatics and tumbling, you used to be able to carry 14 scholarships. Now you can carry 55. 41 increased on the acrobatics and tumbling roster on the women's side. Again, a lot of this going to be Title IX compliant. Baseball used to have 11.7 scholarships available. Now you can have 34. Now, why is that interesting? Because in baseball, most, I confirmed this with Decker. It was this way when he played. It's confirmed now. Most kids on a baseball program either don't have a scholarship or they have a partial scholarship. The baseball team may say, we're not going to give 11 scholarships out. They're going to say, we're going to give 25% of a scholarship to four different guys. That's one scholarship. Now they can have 34 guys on scholarship. In basketball, you used to be able to carry 13 scholarship players. Now you can have 15 on your roster. But and these are roster limitations, by the way, not scholarships.
How is this determined? I mean, this is it's not, you know, multiplied by a certain amount. These are odd numbers compared to what they used to have. How did they determine this?
This would have been determined in a settlement with a discussion between schools, athletic departments, conferences, and those arguing against the NCAA to say, hey, here's what we think and should not think should be on the table. Now, keep in mind, I do want to be very clear. These are not scholarship limitations or requirements. You could have 34 people on the baseball team because in the old day, you'd have as many people on the baseball team as you want, but you only had 11.7 scholarships to give away. Now, you can have 34 guys on the baseball team and you can give all 34 scholarships or you can give zero of them scholarships if you want. That's up to the school. Basketball used to have 13 scholarships. Now you have 15 on the roster. You can give all 15 scholarships or none. Beach volleyball used to have six scholarships to give away. You have as many on the roster as you want, but you had six to give scholarships. Now you can have 19 on the roster. Give as many or as few as you want scholarships. That's all broken down on the website. They also have a website about enforcement. Now, here's the entire enforcement page. You would think that, again, on their website, the enforcement page would be probably the most detailed on the entire page. They have two paragraphs up top that basically are going to dial out what they are. But the last sentence of the first one is what I find interesting. More information about the official rules and policies related to roster limits, revenue sharing, and student-athlete third-party NIL deals will be made available to the public pending discussions with House Class Counsel. Settlements reach, but we still got to talk about what all this makes. And then, on, again, the big main portion of the website, there are two paragraphs. One of which says, it is important to note that the NCAA's enforcement department, not the College Sports Commission, remains responsible for enforcement of rules not created in connection with the settlement. That is explicitly roster limitation, revenue sharing, and NIL deals. That's all the College Sports Commission will be overseeing. Everything else has to go through the NCAA's enforcement department, that toothless organization. But that's the website. Participating schools. It has, quote, all current members of the ACC, Big Ten, Big 12, Pac-12, and SEC are participating in the new revenue sharing model overseen by the College Sports Commission. Division I schools from other conferences can choose to opt into revenue sharing and must formally do so by June 15th, at which point a full list of participating schools will be made public. They also have the a page about the House settlement. And I will argue, this is probably the best page on this website. It has a breakdown of how it reached. It has a link that you can click on to take you to the full final text of the court-approved legal settlement. I will be hating myself later because I probably will read that entire settlement term. And then in the main portion of the website, it has a breakdown of revenue sharing, NIL rights and opportunities, and additional benefits, plus the damages being paid out because of the settlement. That's the best page. But the point that I am making here is that here is the website of the new College Sports Commission, a commission that has been propped up and will be in place of the regulation of and enforcement of rules when it comes to roster limitations, NIL benefits, and revenue sharing. And this website, again, the settlement was late Friday night. We have not even gotten to business hours across the United States on Monday. But if you go look at the website, which the people on our live stream have been looking at for the last 10 minutes or so, if you go look at the website, there's just nothing to it. There's no meat and there's no taters. And if you got no meat and no taters, you ain't got dinner. You know what I mean? Know what I'm saying? So with all of that being said, I think this is a wonderful illustration, let's say, because you know we're big on metaphors on the show, a wonderful metaphor of where we are. We are optimistic. We got a website propped up. We've got some details. The website's got some details. But at the end of the day, is there enough on this website that we can all walk away from Monday morning going, we got a pretty good feel of what this is like? No, because it ain't built out. There's no meat, there's no taters. It's not built out. They haven't put a lot on the table. And if they haven't put a lot on the table, there is no way for us to say, here's our path forward and here are the guidelines we have to follow. There are some rules, some regulations, but how are we going to enact them? How are they going to enforce them? How are they going to create them? We still got to figure all that out. I'm glad the website's out because it shows us we've already got some foresight on pushing this forward. Somebody had this website, even though it's very skimped. Somebody had this website ready to go to just push the go live button the minute that settlement was dropped. But there's nothing on it. And that's where we are in college sports. It's an apt metaphor. Segue to the sports flash.
Now it's time for meat and taters. The NBA finals are tied at, no you won't, at a game apiece after a 123-107 win for the Oklahoma City Thunder last night. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander had 34 with 8 assists, and Jalen Williams added 19. Alex Caruso scored 20, and Aaron Wiggins got 18 with 5 made threes. That's a lot of threes. The Atlanta Braves were swept by the Giants with a 4-3 loss yesterday. Spencer Strider went 6 innings, giving up all 4 runs and striking out 5 in all 3 games. The Braves gave up a lead, including leading twice yesterday. The Braves start a 3-game set at Milwaukee tonight. Edmonton and Florida face off tonight at 8 for Game 3 of the NHL Stanley Cup Finals, this time in Sunrise, Florida. After a double overtime win in Game 2, the Florida Panthers are favorites to take a series lead, entering the contest as minus 140 betting favorites.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like.
Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Audacy podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.